The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Bringing you the ag information you need, this is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, overall on Monday, markets relatively quiet to start off the week of trade. Really just saw two-sided action across grains and in livestock. We're going to talk about things, though. We're going to dive into what is happening in the markets as we get into the week here on Market Talk. Thanks for joining us on the program. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on today's show, we are going to get some thoughts on the markets. Again, relatively quiet on Monday. Kind of just two-sided action in the grains overall. Wheat, again, we could consider the upside leader. Mixed action in the livestock trade, maybe finding a little bit of stability here in cattle after a volatile week last week. Outside markets continue to be a story as well, with mostly quiet day in energies and in gold and currencies, etc. But still, a lot of things to look at there. John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing is going to join us for a market conversation here coming up on the show today. He'll join us in segment 3 and 4 and give us his thoughts of what's happening in the markets. Also, we're going to talk weather. Will we see some good windows for spring planting activity here in the next couple of weeks ahead? Well, we're going to get some thoughts and perspective with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrient Ag Solutions. We're going to talk with Eric coming up here at segment 2. And of course, we had the solar eclipse on Monday. We're going to be touching on that too and much more with our weather segment, our weekly conversation with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrient Ag Solutions coming up here in just a little bit on today's program. Yeah, again, overall, really quiet markets to start off the week on Monday. We had plenty of volatility last week in the market trade, and then you come in here to start off the week on Monday and just not much happening here. As we saw, corn, beans, wheat mixed to slightly higher, led by the wheat trade. Overall, just markets seemingly kind of marking time until we get some new fresh news. We might get some of that on Thursday. USDA's April WASDE report will be released. We're going to be keeping our eyes on that report to see if there's anything major of note that comes out in that report on Thursday. Bean oil felt a little bit of pressure on the day. Monday is probably the only market that really had some noteworthy news to it. The palm oil market and really the world veg oil market continuing its declines, a weaker crude market, all kind of played a factor over in soybean oil on Monday's session. We're also watching fertilizer markets too, and that is where we took our conversation with Mike Castle of StoneX from our midday commentary on Monday. Mike filled in for Arlen Suderman, and we got some news out on Monday on the fertilizer side that was of note, so we talk about that. We touch on the energy markets a little bit in grains as well. Here is Mike Castle from StoneX from Monday's midday commentary.
Yeah, we got big news here this morning. We just heard that India was slashing their purchases from this recent tender on the urea side of things. They got offered about 3.15 million tons in this tender, and it was a pretty fair, tight range of prices too, a lot tighter than we would normally see. So kind of, indicating that sellers were more willing to make sales at, somewhat lower prices here. Their initial purchase expectations only ended up being about 725,000 tons, but they actually ended up slashing that to less than half. Only about 340,000 tons here is what they're going to buy. So that means that there's around 2.8 million tons that were offered in this tender that, were at pretty reasonable competitive price levels on the global market that are now, going to have to find somewhere else to go, essentially. So we've seen the reaction at the U.S. Gulf down in NOLA, pretty fair price drops across the board here. We've seen stuff from loaded all the way out until the fall. Saw some SEP stuff fall pretty aggressively. And again, I think we touched on it last time, the stuff it's in place for the guys with immediate needs, obviously not doing a ton of good there. But, for the forwards, for our summer fill programs, for expectations for fall stuff kind of starting to soften up here, especially, with this coinciding with China returning. So softer demand, more supply coming from China, that's kind of helping push prices lower there. And, you know, that's on the urea side. We are going to see kind of some continuing tightness on the UAN and phosphate markets specifically, especially in those inland price points, just hearing a lot of availability issues, you know, the production outages we saw on UAN, the consistent export demand that we still have on UAN as we kind of fill a bigger role in Russia's absence. You know, the folks who don't want to do business with Russia, that's just pushed a lot more demand to the U.S., specifically on the liquid side of things, which is just keeping things tighter than we're used to. And, you know, phosphate, again, finally seeing that correction kind of falling off, but still pretty inverted here, you know, pretty tight inland supplies just with domestic production weak, imports low because of the duties case. So, you know, not necessarily great news for the guys with immediate needs right now, but it does appear like things are kind of getting better here going forward.
Let's talk energies. Crude oil has been on a tear, a little quiet to start the week as we continue to watch the geopolitical concerns. Any notes for you on the energy markets, Mike?
Yeah, it's kind of a shock, not something we've been used to seeing here in the last few weeks, but actually, you know, an easing of tensions is what it appears. We saw Israel over the weekend pull troops out of Gaza, not entirely, you know, kind of just more limited of a presence. And also, you know, ceasefire talks over the weekend, both sides met in Egypt. The Egyptian media said that progress was made. They'd kind of reached some deals on certain topics, but Hamas officials kind of came out after that, kind of dampened the positivity there and said, well, no real progress was made. So prices kind of off the lows of where they were overnight, but still, you know, down on the day, you know, kind of a welcome to break after, you know, 3 weeks or so of just rallying here. Friday, we saw WTI and Brent both close at over 5 month highs. So a welcomed, you know, breath from the recent rally we've seen.
And in the grains, again, I mentioned this at the top, kind of a quiet day overall on Monday. Just doesn't feel like there's a lot of fresh news out there to really drive the commodity trade, is there, Mike?
No, pretty quiet, very, very boring day. It's kind of funny, you know, it wasn't that long ago we'd see a day like this and kind of think it's normal, but it kind of shows what the, you know, increases in volatility we've seen over the last few years have kind of done to us. Now we get a day like this, and man, we get bored pretty quick. But we got crop progress report coming out from USDA this afternoon at 3 p.m. Central. Kind of see where the winter wheat crop's sitting, see, you know, the initial stages of corn planting, what kind of progress we've made. You know, kind of looking out at the week ahead, April 10th is really a big date, you know, first insurance date for planting corn for the biggest chunk of the country, you know, going from eastern Nebraska, all of Iowa, southern Minnesota, you know, northern Illinois and Indiana. So going to keep paying a lot of attention to forecasts here in the weeks ahead as we get deeper into corn planting and see how the spring season shakes out.
And once again, good thoughts there with Mike Castle from StoneX filling in for Arlen Suderman on our midday commentary on Monday, April 8th. And good thoughts there. Fertilizer, of course, to Mike's point there, a lot of folks, it's not going to be anything for near-term needs, but thinking about looking ahead to some of this deferred stuff in this fertilizer market and maybe thinking about fall needs, etc. Just watching all this price action and how it moves here. It's another piece of the input puzzle that we have to keep in mind. All right, coming up next, we are going to take a look at weather. Speaking of inputs, spring planting season. Will we have some good windows to get planting progress done here over the next couple of weeks? We're going to get an update on that and talk weather with Eric Stongrass from Nutrient Ag Solutions. He joins us after the break here on Market Talk.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Oh, yeah. Well, there is a lot to talk about when it comes to the weather on Monday, and I'm not even just talking about the solar eclipse. There's a plenty of other stuff to talk about when it comes to the weather on Monday. Let's get into it. Joining us now for our weekly conversation, Eric Snodgrass with Nutrien Ag Solutions is with us. Eric, thanks for being with us again here this week, and let's recap this past weekend. There was a lot that happened, a lot of high winds in the plains, dust storms, things like that. So give us a quick rundown of some of the things that we saw here the last couple of days, Eric.
Yeah, deep low left the Rocky Mountains and spun its way out of like parts of Wyoming and Colorado, Nebraska. And what it did was produce a very strong downslope wind event. So we had winds coming off the Rockies that were 60 to 90 miles an hour and blew a tremendous amount of dust from Texas all the way to Colorado, Kansas, you know, Nebraska. And it did it again on Sunday. In fact, we got some of those winds over to the Corn Belt as well. And that system is gone. It's fading its way up toward Minnesota today, but it's being replaced by another system farther to its south, which is going to give us a kind of a four-day, today through Thursday, severe weather event that's going to start in Texas and finish in the southeast. And by the way, that's the one that's going to ruin some of the view of the eclipse later on today for folks down in the south. So remember, this thing goes from like Mexico to Maine, and all along that way, there's going to be some kind of holes, unfortunately, that fill in with some clouds that can make the viewing kind of challenging. But yeah, this pattern is set up to give us quite a beating across the south this next several days, including maybe over the Delta and the lower Mississippi River Valley, 3 to 4 inches of rain.
Well, thinking about this active pattern that we're kind of in right now, I know you mentioned this to me before we went on the air. There are some spots across the country where we have some deficits, moisture deficits, some holes that really need to be filled in here as we're getting into the heart of planting season, Eric.
Yeah, so there's a hole in the Mid-South. There's a hole in parts of Iowa, getting into Missouri, Kansas, back in Oklahoma and Texas. And then the Red River of the North has been very dry. And who's not going to have that filled in is going to be that hole from, I'd say, Oklahoma to Missouri to Kansas, back into parts of Iowa. I think over the next 10 days, that area stays drier. That means heavy rain coming into the Mid-South and heavy rain, but maybe some snow even farther back to the west in the northern plains with the next few systems that are going to roll through. So yes, active is the name of it, but there's going to be some folks that just get missed by these next several systems. And we're not done with the winds by any stretch of the imagination. I actually see the next few systems being capable of producing very strong winds in the same locations as well.
So talk to me about how this is all setting up here as we go, you know, through the month of April and we look at this active pattern. Is that going to continue? We're going to see some shifts. What are some of the model runs telling you here for the next, we'll say, you know, 14 days or so ahead of us here, Eric?
Well, I thought we were going to be getting into some extremely active planting. I think we will. I think it's going to go quickly in parts of Illinois and Iowa, just as an example, given that these next couple of systems coming later this week and beyond don't hit those areas as hard. But we, you know, just this morning, I started to notice a bit of a trend over the weekend that was reinforced this morning. And there's a system out there next, let's call it the 17th. That I think could drop into the northern plains and get blocked up and left over the Great Lakes. And what I'm worried about with that is when they get left in those areas, in other words, they don't progress east fast, you just get a better and better chance of keeping cold air in it. And I told folks this morning in my forecast videos, I said, listen, it's not in the European ensemble. It is not in the GFS ensemble, but it's in the new artificial intelligence model. And that model has yet to burn me. It's been doing pretty darn well. So I got to give it rent some space in my brain until things start to shift around. Because I'd made a call that I said, hey, I think as we approach and get past tax day, we tend to blast this thing open with warmer conditions. And therefore we find the windows to plant when those soil temperatures come up. And I just assumed we would plant pretty quickly this spring. It's not to say that's not on the table, but I just now have one more thing to worry about, getting a low stacked up over the Great Lakes, dropping colder air into the eastern half of the country. Again, 17th through the 19th. Now, that's not uncommon, Jesse. I mean, that's that's the average last frost date. But given the mild winter, the colder start to April, we thought it would just break back open. And it's just a signal I'm going to be watching for.
Yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. But it seems like for the most part here, you know, we still have time, obviously, and the potential here for some good planting windows to open up in the next 4 to 6 weeks, Eric.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, I live in Illinois, of course. And so I was talking to some growers over the weekend and they're like, okay, I would love to plant early and get everything in the ground fast. But some of those guys say some of my best planted corn is second week of May. You know, we still have all of that. There is 4 to 6 weeks of planting window ahead of us. And this crop is going to get in that time.
How about some of the longer range models? Any new forecast data that you're looking at here right now, Eric?
Yeah, a ton of it just came out this weekend. So here's the two thoughts, okay? The new European model just came out. What was very odd about it was now even slower at the development of La Nina, but trended toward what the National Multi-Model Ensemble was saying for the risk of summer heat and drought. Now, what is that? Most models suggest that if you're east of the 95th meridian, okay, that's most of, I mean, that's out there in the plains, right? We get plenty of spring storms north to south across the country. Drought starts to come out of Mexico into Texas and then gets into the Great Basin. And then by summer starts to encroach on the Western Corn Belt. By fall is everywhere. I mean, I'm drawing on this invisible map right here, Jesse, but it's right here in the whole middle of the country. The European model just trended toward that, even though it has a weaker progression of La Nina. And I can't explain it. I'm looking at the models going, why? What was that trend? And it doesn't even look at all like my analog forecast. My analog forecast says three spots to watch. If you're in southern and western Texas, or in the mid-south, or possibly in the southeast, that is where historically we tended to have drought that formed following an El Nino. It tended to storm like mad throughout the entire Corn Belt. So what do we pick here? Well, the models did terrible last year. We know that. But analog forecasting is not a guarantee. So I'm just going to say something, man. These next 6 weeks, I will be watching what I call jet stream momentum. Does it get blocked up and does it leave places out of the flow, or does it just keep moving? If it keeps moving, we're going to have rain, man. It's going to move. We're going to have the systems rolling through. If it starts losing momentum early, I'll start ringing the alarm bell.
All right. Things to keep an eye on here for the next few weeks ahead. Eric, let's go to South America real quick. Any updates for us in Brazil and Argentina?
Yeah, there was some risk in southern Brazil, Mato Grosso do Sul to Paraná, where over the last, let's call it 6 weeks, they did not get as much rain as elsewhere. That's all filling in right now. There's only one state that in the next 10 days is expected to be drier than average, and that's Minas Gerais, I think is how you say it. Mm-hmm. Everywhere else has got above average rains, which means this is huge for Safrina crop. That was a major misstep on my part forecasting over the last 6 weeks. We thought it would be drier by mid-April. Not there. It's just not showing up. It's very wet in regions that desperately need it, which means hitting this Safrina crop with drought would have to now happen at grain fill, because going into pollination, it's going to have some moisture in it.
One other thing, too, I've been hearing some chatter about some concerns in Western Europe and the Black Sea region. That's maybe helped out wheat prices here as of late. Are you watching any big weather concerns over there right now?
Yeah, it's been showing up drier and it's been showing up hotter. And so there is there's just some concern that maybe we're not getting into the right, you know, way to get that crop woken up here in spring and getting it the right moisture it needs before it gets harvested later. And I am watching it carefully because last week was scorching hot across parts of Europe and it's still warm there now. And remember, even though we didn't have a cold winter, part of that section of Russia did have some pretty chilly areas. I didn't hear anything about winter wheat kill, but just something to think about as you kind of ask that question.
All right. Well, as folks want to stay up to date with the weather, we always appreciate the time every week with Eric. You can find more details ag-wx.com. Eric, anything else final to add this week?
No, I'd like to stop with that. It's too much for me to kind of juggle right now anyway.
Fair enough. Well, again, ag-wx.com for more information with that. Eric Snodgrass with Nutrient Ag Solutions. Eric, have a good week, and we will talk to you next week.
All right, sounds good, Jesse.
And as always, another great conversation there with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrient Ag Solutions, talking about the weather as we kicked off the week on Monday. And of course, a solar eclipse happening across the country and things like that many folks excited about. But I know A lot of farmers and ranchers are excited to try and get in the field and get planting done. Sounds like we still got time, still going to be some decent planting windows ahead of us here over the next 4 to 6 weeks. So a lot of things that we're definitely going to be keeping our eyes on the weather front. Of course, we'll talk with Eric each and every week here on Market Talk, and you can find more information online. Just go to ag-wx.com. ag-wx.com. All right, coming up next, we're going to talk markets. John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing is our guest analyst here today, and he'll be back with us on the way right after this here on Market Talk.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@markettalkegg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Egg on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, the markets on Monday were pretty quiet across the board. Grains and livestock trade. Maybe everyone took an unofficial holiday to watch a solar eclipse, potentially. Not sure, but still just a quiet start to the week. We do have a USDA report coming up on Thursday that we need to talk about, that and more. We're going to go through things. Joining us today for market analysis, John Heimberg with Total Farm Marketing is with us here. John, thanks for being with us again this week. And, man, I tell you what, I think the solar eclipse madness must have got the trade on Monday, because it just wasn't too much going on. Kind of two-sided action with the KC and Minneapolis week continuing to kind of be our upside leader, although that was pretty muted on the day as well Monday.
Yeah, pretty quiet day today when you look over the markets in general. Just no real direction for anything. And, you know, some of that may have been tied to outside markets as well. We had kind of a bit of a turnover in crude, and that kind of fell through a little bit more today. And just seeing some weakness there based off, the Middle East tensions are, you know, here or there. But again, I think that did weigh in the soybean market and maybe just calmed down some of the buying in commodity spaces in general. You know, we had a decent night at the wheat market, whether that was tied to the Ukraine, you know, some chatter over there too regarding one of the nuclear reactors again. I just still think we're seeing some good short covering in that wheat market from time to time. Then the reality still sets in that prices are just not competitive on the global scale, and that just limits anything that we got to rally inside of it. Same things happen to the corn market, just from talking to producers and, you know, and end users right now. End users are not concerned about where they're getting their supplies from for corn. They know there's plenty on farm. They bid up a little when they want to get it in, but then when they get their maximums reached, they back off that cash price. Producers aren't going to sell if the price gets too low. Meanwhile, so what that gives us? 6 cents trading range on the lead month, and again, another day of sideways trade in that corn market.
Well, thinking about these markets and specifically corn to start, we got a WASDE report coming up on Thursday. With quiet action, with spring planting trying to get underway here, a lot of those first insurance dates happening this week across the country. I mean, your perspective as you take the March numbers and plug those into your balance sheets and think about what some of the projections are for this WASDE report. I mean, is there anything of major note that we really need to be considerate of here ahead of this WASDE report on Thursday, John, on the corn side?
Typically not in the April report. You know, we're not going to see anything in terms of production. It'll be line item adjustments according to the demand side. They'll take a look at those grain stocks numbers that we had here at the end of March. They'll have to plug in that deficit that we saw according to expectations in terms of the corn market. We'll see some carryout reduction, whether that'll be through a demand uptick, probably raise exports up a little bit, probably raise up the ethanol grind a little bit in that regard. You know, that could give us a cutback. Looking at estimates now, taking carryout down about 60 million bushels. We're about 80 million bushels behind on the grain stock side. So that'll be the biggest thing, is how the market handles that. You know, to me, going forward for the corn market here, this is the month of April, and we've seen this as a trend before. Basis contracts that were due for May are due at the end of the month. We saw selling in November for those December contracts. We saw selling in February for those March contracts. And I think that's going to be a limiting piece of the puzzle here as we get further into the month of April in terms of that basis contract and the producers having to make a decision, do we price or do we roll? Last year, we had about an 80-cent drop. Now, we were obviously much more elevated in price and then we are now, but it was about a 12 to 15% drop in corn prices. You translate that over to the current price levels we're at, that could get us about a 25 to 30 cent drop in price just going into those basis windows. Again, we just set so much corn on that front end of the market that needs to find a home, needs to get a price stuck to it somewhere. That, you know, the market's going to have some of those week longs hung out to dry. And unfortunately, in this case, again, it very well could be the producer with those basis contracts are those week longs.
Yeah, it feels like that we need to look back at some of those scenarios we saw back in February, back in November, and to the farmer side here, maybe take from that and try to position a little bit earlier if they can. I mean, what are some thoughts there, John?
Yeah, a couple different things to look at. Number one, if you want to hold it and, you know, see if we get some type of a move and, you know, but come and pick up a put. They're cheap right now to get us through the next month or two. You can go out and pick up a June put to get you through into that May window. May puts will drop off here before, you know, around, you know, before we hit first notice day. You know, so that's something we got to keep a look at. They're not expensive. The volatility is low, so you can put a pretty good floor into the market if you really are convinced that prices could work higher. The other side of it too, yeah, be active. I just from talking to my producers, had one today, all of a sudden he got a little basis bump. 10 cents was knocked off. He's decided to pull the trigger, sell some cash. And that again tells me we got a pretty good supply of corn in the front of the market. And when an end user needs some, they throw a little discount or throw a break out there in terms of that basis, get some bushels moving. When they're done, boom, to close that opportunity down. So producers need just stay active in the cash market right now if they got stuff they have to move here. Just because of how this market's going to play. You know, funds we saw last week, they pushed that short position back larger again. There's just not a real reason at this time frame for them to get out of that short position, as disappointing as it is, you know, at this time frame, like I said. So with that, the market's not going to really take off or go anywhere. And actually, I'm a little more fearful that we get one more downside test to this again before maybe we can finally find ourselves a bit of a bottom. I mean, I still like that February low. That could be our spring low right now, but it wouldn't shock me that over the next couple of weeks, especially if things start kind of falling apart on the technical side with those basis contracts coming, that you could see one more push to go retest those numbers in terms of that February low.
How about the soybean market, John? I feel like I'm eating my words a little bit here, that soybeans on the board have hung in this $11 window for a lot longer than I thought they would. I know bean oil has been finding some pressure here with world veg oil values kind of pulling back in recent days. But your thoughts on this soy complex? Anything different, anything big you're watching here really that producers need to keep in mind, John?
You know, one of the biggest things I'm watching right now, too, is what's going on with the Brazil price for beans, okay? And, you know, we've talked about that premium, that discount to U.S. beans, and that was one of my questions, okay? Early, we got an early harvest, supplies hit the market quickly. We actually had worse disc premiums than last year, you know, and that really is what weighed on the soybean market in the early stages to get us to that February low before we turn it around. But realistically, Brazil soybean basis, since its lows, is now firmed about 90 cents. Now, U.S. beans are still trading 50, 60 cents above the board, so we're still at a premium to them. But that's at least allowed the market to maybe say, hey, we got a little stability here because here's our number one competitor, and their prices are on the rise. It's real hard for our prices to fall apart. But in this case, at least we're kind of holding in. Now, here comes Argentina beans. That's the next things down the pipeline. watching the soybean meal market. What happens there if that competition for soybean meal starts kicking in here a little bit as those Argentina beans hit the processors? So we'll have to keep an eye on that. Obviously, they're looking at a very strong crop this year compared to the last two drought-stricken years. Then you did mention the oil side of it. You know, I think that was the weakness today in beans was bean oil. We saw crude oil turnover, like I said, on Friday and follow through a little bit here today. That sent that bean oil market down. Now, bean oil has been trending sideways here for a couple of weeks, so it's setting itself up for a move one way or another. So we'll have to see. But again, if bean oil were to find some legs again, soybean meal stay competitive, you know, the bean market might at least be finding a bit of a spot here where it can stay in and hold down again. Now, again, we're not ready to take off and go run into $13 beans or anything, but at least maybe we're getting through the bulk of the South American harvest without any more damage. You got to look at where we were last year. Beans were significantly higher. Obviously, inflation and, you know, the volatility of things of that nature were and part of that price. But, you know, those supplies and carryover weren't that much lower than we are currently. And so maybe things are a little undervalued here. It still comes down to the end user. It still comes down to the Chinese demand. What happens with crush margins? All those things come into play. But at least there's a couple pieces. You know, like you, I was pretty negative the bean market, waiting for one more break. But now kind of looking at the big picture here, maybe it's a spot that prices can at least hold. But I'm also still fearful for that we get one more push somewhere just because we can do that.
We are talking today with John Heimberg from Total Farm Marketing here on Market Talk. John, one more thought here in this overall grain trade. It feels like largely these markets and a little bit of a lull here as we really, you know, the next 4 to 6 weeks ramp up U.S. spring planting, U.S. weather going to come more into focus here, it feels like, here over the next month or so. And largely just lacking any other fresh story, it just feels like that with this planting window right now, we're kind of just in a bit of a lull here in the grain markets, John.
I would agree totally to that. You know, again, without any real driver for news, it's going to be very difficult here. You know, and the market's going to be watching U.S. weather very, very closely. You know, there's still a few things out there that are concerned, maybe a little bit wetter in the east than we want, maybe a little drier still in the west than we want. You know, but on top of that, at least from the corn market side, the biggest corn crop in the world for in terms of production is still the U.S. corn crop. So that U.S. weather is going to shift its focus into a major player pretty quickly, even probably more than the Brazilian weather as we focus on that second crop. So, you know, right now, like I said, I'm kind of saying there's not a whole lot of stories to move this thing. But if all of a sudden we get a couple of weeks where weather changes or we start to see some pattern changes, these funds are still sitting on a heavy short position. You know, that could bring some of that short covering, that trigger, that opportunity for producers to make sales. But just remember this year, if we have any price rallies, they're going to be met by sales and they're going to be met by a supply picture that's still going to be deemed as heavy, barring a major impact in terms of weather.
All right. Well, once again, we are talking today with John Heimberg from Total Farm Marketing. He is our guest analyst here as we take a look at Monday's market action. Very quiet across the board. We are going to take a look at livestock and get some final thoughts from John. Coming up after this, we'll be back with more on Market Talk of the Way right after the break.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Today, we are joined by John Heimberg from Total Farm Marketing. He is our guest analyst on the show today. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Markets on the day, Monday, pretty quiet overall. We saw July quarter up 3/4, 447 and a half. December quarter up a half penny, 473. July beans down 2.5, 1194 and a quarter. November beans down a half a penny, 1184 and a quarter. Chicago wheat, July 1.25 lower, 580 and a half. July KC wheat, 5 higher, 584 and a half. Spring wheat, July 1.5 higher, 658. Livestock, April live cattle up 115, 179.40. June up 127, 173.32. April feeders up 160, 239.30. Feeder cattle for May, a dollar lower, 237.17. You look at hogs, April hogs up 42, 89.75. May hogs up 32, 97.87. And June hogs up 2, 107.92. The outside markets were quietly mixed on the session. Let's get back to our conversation with John Heimberg. And John, cattle markets, bit of a recovery. Very strong day Monday in boxed beef cutouts. Having to think that maybe helped out, especially on the live cattle side. With all the volatility last week with the avian flu, we may be getting a little bit of a stabilization in cattle here this week.
At least for a day, you know, we'll see. We also had options expiration on Friday for April options. And I think that was a big part of Friday's sell-off as well. Just like in the grain markets, we talk about moving to the area of largest open interest. For April, it was the 178 strike for puts and calls. And that's where we fell to on Friday's trade is, you know, the market just cleans up some of those long calls and makes people with puts wonder what they're going to do, if they're going to hold the position or not. So that causes that extra volatility. Now, nice day today. You mentioned it. Big pop in retail values. We needed to see that. We broke under $300 for choice carcasses last week. First time in quite a while we've been there. Now we popped right back over with a strong day today. The interesting part of right now, the choice select spread with today's trades at midday was only like about 20 cents apart. So that's usually not typical of a market that's got a lot of demand in it. So we usually like see that choice run out against the select. So maybe right now demand is a little bit of a concern. But we're through the Easter window. We're now into April. Weather forecasts look to be improving. Can we possibly get a little push now on that retail side? You know, hey, I put some beef on the grill this weekend, you know, so that might be the trend that we start seeing. The other side of it too, June just looks a little cheap here. We got cash trade, you know, high end 188 for the north, 184 in the south. You get June trading at 172 on the open today. That's a pretty big discount to cash. You know, plus also now April's in first notice day, so we'll see if there's any cattle coming into deliveries over the next handful of days here. You know, so some things that could get this market maybe working back to where it should be. Maybe not back to the 190s, but let's get June back up into that 180 window here. So that'll be something I'll be watching going forward. But at the same time, we are not out of the woods. All we did was have an up day within that big range on Friday. To me, we need to see some follow through tomorrow, you know, get back and challenge some levels of resistance up above this market. Then we'll see if we truly have a turn. But we did come pretty close to my low side target on that June contract around 171 on Friday. So we'll have to see if that's a spot that this market can find some footing. You know, then you get a headline like we saw today on one of the AP wires, you know, South Dakota cattle prices hitting record high, 300,000 head less than 2019. That fundamental is not out there. Now maybe the news cycle's working past the avian flu story, and we can see that money come back into the cattle market.
Yeah, and that's a great point. It felt like a lot of last week's moves was uncertainty, psychological in nature. You brought up options expiration. That's a great point there. I didn't even think about that on Friday's trade, but largely it felt like a lot of it was just that psychological sentiment and the unknown that really drove the cattle markets last week, John.
You know, very much so. And then you had the funds setting out a pretty big long position, you know, and they were already starting to peel that back a little bit, and it just became easy to hit the sell button and still probably, you know, hold on to some gains from when they got in those positions. You know, so a lot of it was money flow, you know, last week, but there was a reason for that concern, and the market reacted accordingly. And as much as we hated it, concern was, could demand fall apart because of the avian flu story? Charts broke apart technically, sell, sell, sell. You know, we flipped that to the grain markets. I'm looking for that story to say buy, 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 and we don't have that yet. So now we'll see if the cattle market can find some stability here, you know, over the next couple of weeks.
Any notes for you in the hog markets here as we kick off the week, John?
Yeah, it looks extremely valued right now, especially those summer months, pushing higher again today, 110 out in July. You know, it's just one of those markets that you got to be careful of. As much as it likes to go down at a very quick pace, you know, this market could turn over in V-bottom or V-top when we see these big moves. So it's an area right now, if I'm a producer, I'm definitely making sure I got some type of protection under here. You know, the hog markets, the corner of the hog and pigs numbers were borderline heavy. You know, so that still has me a little bit questionable, but we've seen a nice move in the cash market. We've seen a nice move in the retail market. That's helping fuel this rally. But again, like most of these cattle markets or hog market type trades, you know, they can hit their peak very, very quickly. And hogs seem to V bottom or V top much faster than even cattle does.
John, anything final for us here you want to reiterate or throw out to folks here on today's show?
Yeah, we didn't touch on dairy today, but maybe we're finally getting a little life in that market. You know, it's just saw a cheese trade snap around. We're back to 150 plus on cheese. So all of a sudden, a dairy market that was starting to look pretty rough is starting to come around. You know, again, maybe we're getting past that news cycle on the avian influenza. I think that's a big key. It keeps me a little more optimistic. The cattle market, too, because of that news headline, maybe moving past the the front page status, so that might be a market we see some recovery. Overall, though, for, producers right now, look at the value, see where things are, take advantage of things. Don't fall asleep on this corn market, possibly going back down again, especially with this window here for basis contracts. Just being active in terms of your cash market, because see, futures market's probably not going to do a whole lot in here over the next handful of weeks. So you're going to get your breaks on the basis if somebody needs something to fill for that cash market.
John, if folks want to reach out to you, if they have questions, want to talk markets, I know they can reach you many ways there at Total Farm Marketing. How can they get a hold of you?
Sure, love to chat with them anytime. Give me a call, 800-334-9779. Shoot me an email at johnh@totalfarmmarketing.com. And again, don't forget that website of ours, totalfarmmarketing.com.
And with that, John Heimberg, Total Farm Marketing, always good to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great week.
And with that, we are up against the clock. We're out of time here on Market Talk today. Thanks again to John Heimberg for joining us. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll talk with Tyler Schau from AgMarket.net. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks for tuning in to Market Talk. Have a great rest of your day.